Thank you for the interruption. Next, where were we?
Thank you, Eddie. We were on coastal energy trip, 16 County Road and Bridge employees to Willow Springs.
Any questions or comments? All right with that?
I'm fine with it.
I'm good with it.
Okay.
What about the old boy that talked to us at the? What I'm saying is, where are we going with
Donaldson Construction Tower Club meeting?
Yeah, when we had our commission meeting. Who was that guy? I mean, I walked in after the introduction was already made.
Yeah, Donaldson Construction.
But that's a different issue, isn't it? I mean, you're just talking about improving or...
We're talking about looking at our techniques and materials and make sure that we're doing everything as best we can.
What he's selling is something else.
Which was part of his products were put in the bid package this past go-round. So we are considering the products that Greene County and Springfield are doing for what his presentation was at the Tower Club. He gave to me about 3 weeks or a month ago now, and we are taking those into consideration.
Okay, you're going to take your chip and seal crew up then to this meeting?
Five other people besides myself, yes. Brian Jennings and several people from that side.
Okay.
Got three okays.
Okay.
Okey-dokey.
Spring cleanup went very well. We had 8 containers on the ground at the Mechanics Flats, and we've ordered 3 more this morning. Those are the same numbers we had last year, and that equated to about 80 or 85 tons. Friday was busier than Saturday on the Buchanan site. Cars were staged out to the road several times, and Saturday was not quite as busy. So I think we've lagged a little bit on advertising. We did plenty of advertising, but there was some confusion as to normal household trash would have to be paid for versus being free. So there were a few people that were upset at the Buchanan site because they brought normal residential trash and were charged for it.
They're supposed to be, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the flyers show that, but it may have been that the news stories didn't pick that up.
Sunset, the road that was brought up this morning in the Y Highway Sewer Project, it was described correctly. There is a road with a 30-foot easement that stops prior to the 3 residences that the gentleman mentioned this morning. Dusty Emmert's field supervisor had promised the people that were in this morning that he would pave beyond the county line and ultimately did not because it wasn't the scope of the sewer project. They took that and were quite upset with it. I met with the gentleman and his wife several times last week. Prior to my talking to themselves, someone had taken out a petition for that 220-some feet of roadway. I also had a discussion with Dusty Emmert. He said if the project were going better, he would volunteer the $12,000. I did an estimate this morning, $6,750 just for materials. And Dusty gave me an estimate of $12,000 total, including materials, last week. So they are in the petition process. They were also discussing last week that a sale of a home, of the 94-year-old lady's home, is contingent upon the road being paved, as that's part of the decision or record-keeping in the contract for the home. And so there's a few things going on here. We have a double amputee, we have a legally blind person, and we have a 94-year-old lady that lived beyond the county-maintained portion.
I asked that question when I was out there with Suti, and John didn't know off the top of his head.
Yeah.
But the road to where it was supposed to be continued has been clearly a road for much time, but
right. There's
kind of been a path after that, John said. And so that's a good question that ought to be addressed before we go too far.
The width of the gravel portion versus the hot mix would be very similar to what's existing in hot mix. There wouldn't need to be any right-of-way acquired. It may not meet our current today's standards for width of roads, but it would be contiguous in width from what the asphalt portion is. They are still paving. Throughout this week, and the opportunity is there to make that improvement, I don't have the authority or desire to make that decision, being it outside the realm of what we normally do in petitioning roads, and it would be working outside of our
response. Is this another promise not kept? Is this that's what that...
Essentially.
I think so. Well, not you can do anything about it, but that's what it is.
Dusty apologized to the residents, said that his field supervisor made a mistake and error in judgment in as far as the scope of the project.
But my understanding is there's no requirement in the project to do it.
That's correct. Their requirement is to replace in gravel in kind as to what was existing before. This morning was the first time I'd heard of the one road they mentioned where asphalt had replaced gravel. I'd not heard that.
And John and I went and looked at it, and we've been asked to take it in, Moon Road, and down by Charlie Peterson, and they went all the way back in there. Not a big wide road. It's not something we would have taken in, but they asphalted the whole deal.
Wow.
Again, not very wide, but... Mm-hmm.
So you're going to find out about how much easement we have?
Yes.
To that extension?
And find out how, if there's not enough, find out if you can inquire.
And are we thinking that we might go ahead and pay for Schneider to finish the asphalt, or possibly taking it in and doing it ourselves? What's the best way to go there?
I'm here to seek direction. Them being mobilized at the time for doing the rest of the pavement would be the appropriate time to do it versus bringing in and setting up everything to do that small section.
Did you get a price from them?
$12,000. Materials alone are $6,750, and then there'd be some preparatory work and base work to be done prior to the paving. I just ran some figures to see if his figures were in the ballpark, and they are. So I'll check on right away your easement.
And then all right by me.
Just check. I mean,
yeah, easement, and if they're willing to give easement to, if the road could be paved.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to break from my 40-foot easement deal.
Does that road is dead end, right?
Yes.
And so
we need to turn around?
I think John and I mentioned that also, and that they would give us a turnaround.
Dusty Emmert called me last week in regards to the Y Highway Sewer Project. I've not been involved very strongly at all. Randy attends all of the construction meetings on a weekly basis. They're getting to the point where they're repairing asphalt sections of road that are sometimes within the scope of the project, sometimes outside the scope of the project. The peripheral damage done to the roads is mostly in part to the construction equipment. Y Highway is a good example of damage done to a road based because of construction activities. He would like to meet with me sometime this week to make decisions on every location that he is contending is not part of the construction project. I'm thinking I would rather have Great River Engineering involved with that decision-making process, unless you'd rather it be myself. They're the ones that have the pre-construction video. They've had an inspector on site throughout the project, and my familiarity is just reports I get back from Randy.
It makes sense that Great River would at least be involved in that meeting.
Yeah,
I mean, they would know that they would know that the scope of the project.
Mm-hmm.
So,
both parties, myself, then, and Great River sound appropriate.
Sounds appropriate, as long as Great River's there with you. So.
Mr. Paulson, this one might be for you. Roads in the Oakmont community, I've had several calls from residents that belong to an association that's been a development of cabins that's been foreclosed on and now is owned by the bank, and they have heard rumors throughout the neighborhood that the bank will put up a gate and close the road to the cabins that they currently own and reside in part-time as a vacation cabin. There's no permanent residence here, and I told her legally I don't think that the bank has the authority to deny them.
Are they private roads?
They are, at this point in time.
They're all private roads?
Yes.
They've not been dedicated to the county?
Not been dedicated to the county.
They are private roads, but it is a planned subdivision.
Yes.
They've all been individual lots, so they will have to grant access to those people as long as that's the plan that's fine.
But does that have anything to do with us? Because if they're private roads, they've never been platted as public roads. We don't really have control of them except for through planning and zoning, and basically it would be a civil matter between the residents and the bank. If they closed off their access, they would have a civil complaint of some sort against them, some sort of lawsuit, because obviously they need to have access. And if there's a homeowners association, maybe they need to pay to the homeowners association, but if there's not a homeowners association...
It's not built out. And
that's phase one.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to get to the microphone. You're talking a lot more. And no, go ahead. Fine, we're talking. Just get to a microphone if you don't want to. Yeah.
This is the
recording.
You know where the golf course is out on 86 Highway. This whole project, I think, did go into receivership, if I'm not mistaken. Phase one goes across the covered bridge there near Jones Road and in there. And if you've got a Jeep, you can come out the other side. But basically, I don't think it makes a connection all the way through. So I could see them on the one side up near where the clubhouse is and everything like that, possibly closing that road off instead of people having drive through that way. But as far as the covered bridge entrance, I can see them putting a gate up there, making a gated community. I've not heard anything about anybody locking anybody out of there. Or anything like that. So
my question is, I just wanted to verify that a bank didn't have the legal authority to deny somebody to their property, even though they are the owners of the property. And I don't know the answer to that question.
We don't have the right to. We don't have any right to stop.
But I can relay that on to let them know that it would be a civil matter. Would that be appropriate answer? Okay. We can move on to the next one. Randy had a meeting with the residents, all the property owners that are affected by the portion of Round Mountain Road that continues to wash out past in between the two low water structures. He said the meeting went very well. Everyone except for one resident was in attendance, and he lives out of state, and they are all in favor of moving forward with the county at least doing a survey to see what it would take to move the road up towards the bluff area. And that's the last direction we had from the commission, was to talk to the residents, see what their feelings were on the subject. So basically I'm letting you know that Randy did have the meeting. It was rather successful, and we're getting an estimate now on survey for the area. Not moving forward within a survey, getting an estimate for the survey. Next issue is Harp Lane. Harp Lane is a road off of East 76 that is sometimes used as an emergency bypass when there's crashes in a certain portion of 76. It does have an inlet and outlet both on 76. There's a rather large storm drain box underneath there that's been inspected and been identified since prior to my coming here that it's in need of replacement. Our estimate at this point in time for precast segmented box is $5,000 to $7,000 in concrete materials, and then our concrete crew would need to pour some wing walls, and it'd probably be a 3-day closure. But I think it's critical that we do this box due to the fact that HS20 loads or legal loads, 80,000 pound loads, sometimes travel over this road during an emergency situation.
It's used a lot in the wintertime when there's ice on because of those dips down there, and there's always cars off. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
There at Kirkyville right there, those two dips. And I don't know. I mean, I'm for you replacing it. It was brought up the first year I was here.
You've got some budget money for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Next issue is credit card machine at the transfer station. We still haven't fixed that. I've talked with Gary several times. I think last time we spoke, there were several options. The option that we chose and I'm asking to move forward on is that we one-time cost installation of a line, probably less than $500 of digging a trench, and versus the $26 to $32 monthly cost it would cost to go with the other option. So that's all we're waiting on is commission approval to move forward with Gary's recommendation, and having talked to him several times.
Pulling the wire through the conduit that goes to, is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would there be some trenching required from the conduit to the building, to the main building?
Correct, but not very, I mean.
20 feet.
There's conduit to what, is it the fuel tanks? What is that?
There was conduit put in from the generator site over to the
shed. To the shack.
Shack. And that has been decided it'd be cost prohibitive to actually make those improvements. It'd be cheaper to buy a small portable generator to power the needs of that in the event that it does, and they've done that on several occasions. So the conduit could be used for communications lines. So it would be from splicing into the conduit, and it'd be a run from about here to the wall, 20 feet or so at most. Minimal cost. The other options would all cost $26 to $32 a month forever.
I'm fine with it.
Good by me.
Yep.
Blancett Road is almost impassable unless you're in a very serious four-wheel drive unit. Traditionally, we spent about $15,000 to $20,000 each time we fixed it. We made a decision last year not to expend much more money on Blancett Road. There's one out-of-town visitor that has or rents some property at the end of the road, and then also there's some summertime agricultural activities at the end of the road. Last time I spoke, I asked the gentleman that lived at the end of the road to see if he could get an agreement with the property owners up above so that he wouldn't have to go across the entire length of Blancett Road, that he would have access a much shorter distance to his property. I do not know if that's happened. I've not had any complaints. I'm letting you know today that you can't get down Blancett Road unless you have a serious four-wheel drive.
Yeah, it's actually platted, but it's not. We haven't ever proceeded with that at where he's wanting access.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go up through that other subdivision, and
there's
a road that goes down, and there was so much confusion on that road that, and they weren't willing, I don't think, to let them go down through there, although it's platted. Could have if they wanted to.
Just, I'm not asking for anything, just a heads up that if you get any calls on Blancett, we may or may not have to move forward with something like you talked about to try and see if we can get legal access through there. Or
what about the gravel that's there? Can the gravel that's there be on the gravel bar be placed on the road so that a guy can get him down through there? I had a call from that old boy, and he's going to actually come forward with a heritage a show of ancestry of where his heritage went back, and I owned that place for all this time and how long it had been a county road and everything. And he called me last year, and I thought I'd seen him before now.
There's several problems with the road. As you first enter the road, it's typically underwater for several hundred feet. I've never seen it dry yet, and as you move beyond halfway down, there's segments of concrete paths that are very rough and deteriorated with hardly any gravel, and as you move three-quarters of the way down the road, there's 6, 12, 18 inches of gravel. There's so much that you can't get through it.
Can't get through it. That's where I was kind of headed with the distribution, maybe with a loader to take that that's up there down and fill between those two concrete deals where it's passable for that old boy to get to.
We can do that, and that would be the logical thing to do, but last time we discussed it, we discussed not doing anything until it was brought up again.
Yeah, I think it's most cost-effective is to keep it passable that way other than trying to
bring import material and put base on
it. Import material and stuff in there. I think that you just use the gravel that naturally flowed from the creek and it stacked up. One time it was 3 foot deep right in the middle of the road above it. You couldn't get through it for the gravel, and the other part didn't have any gravel on it. So that would be my recommendation, that we try to see if we can't take the gravel that's on the road that is in county roadway and distribute it the length of the road all the way down and hope that we don't end up with a great big washout again, which is going to happen sooner or later, but at least ways we just got the least amount of dollars spent.
Sounds good to me.
Thumbs up over here.
Blanch it. A couple more items. Yandell Cove is essentially done, working on fixing up some rough spots in the road prior to where the construction site was.
Are you going to notify the school for next year? Because, I mean, they won't have any school this summer, but they will have kids that will be riding the bus route from the turnaround, because we'll have that, probably that, at least that circle at cul-de-sac chip and seal, won't we? Are you going to chip and seal all the way down?
We try to wait for a year and let things settle and make sure we have drainage and compaction right.
But I'm wondering about next year's school year. That's been the whole issue with me, is that little boy walking, and I'd say a freshman or something like that, but having to walk a mile and a quarter home, and we've got a cul-de-sac there now where if it was hard surface, a bus could turn around. A bus could travel the road now on the road part of it. Really looks nice, and I think everybody's going to be happy with it. Was you going to bring up the discussion about the fence, or we already talked about it?
I didn't have it on my... Okay. I can bring it up.
Randy mentioned it to me that Mr. Isaacs, who donated the biggest part, had the split rail fence, that if we would just pay for the cost of the fence, which was $200, $198 or something like that, that he'd just as soon leave it out of there, that he wouldn't have to brush hog and weed eat and all that kind of stuff out of there. If Randy can reach that agreement, is that okay with you guys? That's
good to go. Yep.
Okay. It's just under 200, like you stated.
Yeah. Can I follow up with Yandell? You sparked something, which is, have you sent the letter to the Corps after we had met?
Yes.
And have you got any feedback? Is that on your list of things?
I have that letter with me somewhere.
Did we get any feedback from them yet?
No, I have the letter right here. No, I have not got any feedback.
Okay. I mean, I know that it seemed like they wanted to have the meeting. It was real urgent. This is when everyone's using the access roads, and we just haven't. It's odd that they wanted to meet so badly. We sent the letter, and then they haven't done anything.
Yeah, I think you need to.
Would you mind following up with them again?
Okay.
Just to make sure they did receive it, and because it just seemed like they were really eager to get this thing going.
Yeah, that gives us permission from Ron Yarger and this and that to go ahead and send a letter to the banks, and that way they can get it released.
But people are going to be using the lake now, and so let's, if we can improve it, because some of those access roads could use some help.
Right. The letter, Bob, sorry to interrupt, one of the letters that we're talking about is the one that drafted I gave you in regards to property access through Army Corps land. Item number 19. Safety meetings are happening on a regular basis in Cheney County, and we have documentation thereof. It's been quite the challenge to get people to continually do safety meetings on a regular basis, but now I have a much better feeling about the meetings that we're having, the content of the meetings, and the documentation thereof. In the event of an unfortunate accident, an investigation coming in, it would not look good upon us that we didn't hold regular safety meetings. So I think I finally got the message through on that. Also, I'm visiting both yards on at least a weekly basis, which is something that I stopped doing about 6 months ago. And I think it's in just informing you that I'm doing that. It's a better way to communicate on-site with the people on a regular basis, and I'm getting a lot out of that. Last thing I have on my agenda is the supervisors have that we meet on a Tuesday shop talk meeting have requested an open meeting with the full commission. I don't really know what they want to talk about. I have some guesses. 80 and out is something that comes up all the time. The ability to carry more than the current amount on comp time, total hours. It was much more before, and it's much less now. I think we're down to 120. It used to be maybe twice that. Just a couple issues that they ask if we could have a meeting with the commission as a whole, and I told them I would ask.
When do you guys want to do that?
How's that figure in on your budget and the comp time?
I mean, the problem is we're very inconsistent, and one thing that just wants you to know, sitting down with Lynette, Lynette has contacted all the different elected officials and all that. 80 hours is about what everyone else is using. We're the only, Road Bridge is the only one that's still higher than 80. So, I mean, even though it's... Mm-hmm.
It is 80, I'm sorry.
It's 80, okay. So I'm going to make sure, because I didn't know 120, and I hadn't studied yours, but 80 was the... Okay. When are you thinking? Because...
What would accommodate all of your schedules?
Shop talk you're talking about?
That could work. That would work, but I think that there's some other issues that I think that a little bit later, 2 weeks from now, would be better. Before you enter chip and seal season would be adequate, and there would be some questions already answered. I've been approached by some people, and I don't care to comment on it right now, but I think that if we wait 2 weeks to whenever you're going to start your chip and seal, that it'll be something that can be addressed, and it'll be taken a lot more sincere.
It'd have to be the week of the 3rd anyway, because if you remember last week, I'm in D.C., and this week is pretty full already with this FEMA train that I've got to go to, so... I mean, it looks like the week of the 3rd is the soonest I could.
What do you think about that, Frank?
We're in chip seal preparatory mode right now, countywide. They've wanted the meeting. I've heard it several times. Last time was two or three shop talks ago. So, at your convenience.
Yeah.
So we'll look for about a month out, 30 days out.
Well,
just at least two weeks out. I mean, you want to get with Nikki.
2 to 30 days.
Nikki has calendar access, so.
We can hit the shop talk, or we can hit just a regular meeting. I mean, have it.
However it plays out, but.
I'm sorry, I said I was done. I have one more. In the past month, we've had 6 phone calls on people requesting children at play signs. According to the Manual Uniform Traffic Control Devices, federal mandates on some and recommendations on others, those are typically used for park areas, children's recreational areas, typically where children are at play. They're not usually put in residential neighborhoods. If that were the case, we'd have to put them throughout all of the residential neighborhoods. It's also been my experience that those signs give people a false sense of security, and it's not uncommon for people to let their children play in the street when they have those signs up there.
That to be exactly the facts, and it's happened several times.
We're designating those as a sort of a children play zone. So I have not been putting those signs up. I wanted you to know that in case you get some calls, and that the fact that I'm referencing the manual in regards to that. Also, almost the same number of calls in regards to speed limits in neighborhoods. One of the neighborhoods is off of Bee Creek, and some of the streets are posted. It's a contiguous neighborhood, one neighborhood. Some of the streets are posted with nothing. Some of the streets are posted with 15 mile an hour. Some are 20, and some of the streets are not posted at all. So we're not equal, and the roads, the geometry is the same, the ditch lines are the same, everything is the same. Once again, if we reference the MUTCD, the federal guidelines for a residential neighborhood, when it's not posted, is 25 miles per hour. This has been an issue on and off since I've been here. I talked to Randy, it's been an issue on and off for a long time. I'd like to explore the opportunity to create a countywide ordinance in residential neighborhoods to, and we also have the ability, the commission does, because of the local jurisdiction. We could drop that 25 mile an hour to 20 if you felt more comfortable with that. But versus hopscotching throughout Cheney County on what we post and what we don't post, if we had an ordinance that stated this is the residential, if not posted, this is the residential speed limit. So if you could give that some consideration.
Are you talking about entering subdivisions mainly?
Yes, yes.
It ought to be consistent.
That's a new sign.
You see it?
Yeah. Where on 76.
Off 76 and go into back here by Cornerstone, up in that area in there.
Does it say City Ordinance 88?
It just says speed limit 20 miles an hour where not posted.
There's a couple of new ones leaving town towards 65.
Yeah. But I have seen that ordinance, yes. 88, whatever, City Ordinance 88.
It's not, what city is that?
Rockaway.
Is it?
I believe it's Rockaway. Okay. The new city ordinance signs?
Yeah, I've not seen that before.
I think it's says the speed limit or something like that.
Merriam Woods,
maybe. Or Merriam Woods, one of those two.
Merriam Woods.
We were going to talk about Aegis.
Well, I was going to ask you one thing. Carlton Road, I got the newest report on Carlton Road. Are we about done out there?
We are probably 95% done.
It looks like we've spent 754 man hours out there, which is a whole lot more than I thought we were going to. Anyway, I guess my question for you, Frank, is the report that I got, how do I judge what it really costs us? I mean, I know you use FEMA numbers in there, but there's got to be some sort of rhyme or reason what we charge back for use of the equipment. We can't say it didn't cost us maintenance. It's man hours plus
right
materials, which is $1,700, and then there's the depreciation of the actual equipment.
Depreciation, M&O, fuel,
right.
All of those things, upkeep. I would estimate that number to be at 40 to 50% of what you're seeing that equipment cost.
So our equipment cost on that project was $26,000 by FEMA rate, so $13,000, let's just say it's 50% right. And we still put almost $30,000, well, more than $30,000 into that project
right.
That I thought was just cleaning the ditch line and graveling. So the only reason I'm watching this one is because I had so many calls during the whole process of it. So anyway, I just wanted to point out, I had asked Frank for a detail of what Carlton cost, and then I got a new one this morning because I guess, Danny, I overheard you talking to Bob or Jillian this morning about you were out there and
I drove it,
saw some equipment out there. And
drove it Saturday, and it was surprising to me that the amount of work that's been done there. The base in places is probably 8 to 10 inches thick, long, you know, and the problem that was there existing to get us to go ahead and do the road is still there, kind of that filling in of that hole. Now they've put some, we show a finished product because we've got rocks, drainage down that ravine.
Mm-hmm.
But for what Mr. Knudelson wanted, it still curves, the road curves in towards his property instead of filling the hole and taking the road straight. I mean, I thought that was what his main concern was.
His main concern, to my understanding, was that we didn't infringe any more towards his home, that we moved all of our efforts would be away from his home, and that we have done that. We've not infringed any towards his home. He did want and he was promised by previous commissioner that the hole would be filled in completely, and I think I brought it up once or twice to the commission that would be a tremendous amount of fill to bring in on site. So I think what we accomplished was we sort of middle of the road, tried to please both parties. Also, as we talk about Carlton, I remember the beginning of this project, there was discussion that we'd barely do any improvements, let's just clear brush. Then the discussion went to, if we don't put in ditch lines, everything that we're approving will not stay. There's also discussion that if we have county road standards, how can we as a county go out and not do at least the minimum of what our county road standards talk about? So if we, from this point forward, if we move forward with making more improvements to county roads, I would definitely like a clear sense of direction and consensus from the commission that talks about the limits of the construction that we'd like to do from here on out, because perception from myself and the crews has been we've done things a certain way in the past, and it may be time, like I think you've stated several times, Danny, take it in as a Class 6 road and make improvements as time or money's allowed.
What I would like to do, Frank, and I think it would settle a whole lot of conversation, is look back at Randy's recommendation when we took it in of what the cost was going to be. I think to find that it said that it was going to cost between $5,000 and $10,000 to do what was going to be done, and that was using on-site material from what they cleaned up down the road, pulled back and fill in the hole in. What I meant was it was on-site materials.
Right. He did tell me there was this was tabled from a long time ago, this project, and his original estimate was in the range that you're talking about, but his estimate wasn't an updated estimate. It's 4 or 5 years old, and it did not include the construction activities or project as you see the project today. It went about halfway down the road and didn't go all the way to, I forget the gentleman's name, where the turnaround is at.
Carl Tinker.
Yes.
Anyway, I'd just like more of an idea. I think it would be good for you, as far as you're trying to keep your budget under control, to look. I've seen that we still had a grader on site, and we still had, I don't know, I think it was a loader maybe or something. There's two big, large pieces of equipment that were still on site on the job. Now, what that does is kind of like what we experienced as we drove to Pro-Tem the other day, and Jim asked what the grader was doing beside the road. It just raises a question in the public's mind of what we're doing with that equipment, and it's sitting in a location for such a long time. And I'd like to see, I'd like to see completion or something. I don't know where they've been working other than that, but I'd like to see some kind of. It's surprising the number of people must just get out and drive around, because you get calls, you know, if you're working in an area. I've had probably 4, 5, 6 calls on Carlton Road. What are you doing out there? How long are you guys going? Are you camping out there? Things like that, you know.
So when people have to weed eat around our equipment, that makes me concerned that it's been there too long. And I know that's the case. So, and that one specific item is only within 2 miles of the yard, I think, of our east barn, isn't it? I think the one grader I'm talking about that I mentioned to you, I think it's within 2 miles of the yard, and I understand that it's necessary, but right. It being parked in the yard versus parked on the side of the road, and people weed eating around it, that just doesn't look good for the county. Not saying we need to get rid of it, because when the ice storm comes around, that seems like that's the only piece of equipment that pulls the ice off, but I'd sure like to make sure that we minimize, I mean, there's a couple things. Minimize the image, but they also is protect our equipment. There has been vandalism in the past, and it being more protected would be at least a step in the right direction.
Understood.
And in defense of the Carlton Road, the project started after that huge freeze and thaw period we had, and caused the project to extend because of just the horrible sloshy material, the conditions. We started the project, and then remember that hard freeze and the thaw, and it made the project a lot longer. So I don't think I'm being critical of the gentleman who did the work. It's just a matter of the timing was they didn't know the time was going to be bad. It just seemed like it went a lot longer than, you know, I don't think the quality work is bad. It's just a matter of, it just took forever to get
moving. Let me kind of put it in perspective, though, Jim. It's just kind of like the road that we just got through talking about on Yandel.
Right.
We had to pull off of that job, and we pulled all the equipment off of there but one roller, and didn't work there all winter pretty well because it was unsuitable conditions. And the people appreciated that. They said, you know, you come down here and you try to work and you make a bigger mess than what we made, and we got to drive through it and everything. We appreciate the fact that you waited this long.
Right.
That's the word I get. So you don't fool the public. But when we leave a piece of equipment sitting on a job for extended period of time, when you got graders, loaders, and things like that sitting for extended periods of time, then the perception goes wrong.
Right.
I understand perception really, really well, and it's, that's those people's reality when they see that, and I'll work on some of those issues. I appreciate the comments.
That it, Frank?
Aegis, I think.
Just Aegis. I mean, I just put it on there to see how we can move forward to getting phase three complete. And I was looking for any input from Eddie or Frank, or what do we do? I mean, it seems like, without rehashing it, obviously it's a big stumbling block of how do we move forward. Let me ask you a separate question, more specific. You guys formed a separate subcommittee to review this, correct? The P&Z board, you guys formed a subcommittee, correct?
Correct.
And has the subcommittee met?
Twice. And then decided that wasn't a good idea.
It met twice and said it wasn't a good idea. Okay.
Was that the committee I sat in on the tail end of one of those meetings?
I think so. Down in planning and zoning building?
Yes. Too many. Every time you add another person, there's a whole lot of new examples and ideas and all kind of things like that. I think Mr. Styron was in our meeting not long ago, and he probably said it best, is, you know, if you want to set up some zoning districts, set them up. And then if you need to add more, you add more. If you need to take away, you take away. Anything. You know, he said it won't be perfect. It'll be an always changing document. And the more we try to get together on it, the more I believe he's probably right. You know, that you get one or two people together and you get that done. I guess, though, to me, I've been thinking about this quite a bit. And what you guys need to know what you want as what's going to meet the needs that you originally were pursuing with this.
Something holds up in court.
Well, and as I've been thinking about that, you know, you go back to Taney County and you look and you say, right now we could say we have residential, we have commercial, and we have agricultural. Would that be sufficient and let you operate like you're operating now?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you're in a residential area and you want to do some commercial work, you go through the same exact process we've got right now. I mean, you could, in theory, I guess, go in and color a map completely out just based on those three deals. It does give you three zoning districts. It doesn't change anything you're doing. But you come into a couple of gray areas that say, what do we do with special use? These are people who are running a business out of their home or something like that, but we give them special use so that it doesn't establish commercial compatibility or some other reason like that. Our code book also says if we grant a business or a commercial business on for anybody, and regardless of how much land they've got, a commercial business requires 2 acres if it's in the septic system and not on a centralized sewer. You know, so I mean, there may be a need to do some work there. But I'm wondering if we're just trying to look at something that says, these are districts, not an east district, not a west district.
Right.
We have commercial, we have residential, we have agricultural.
And then
can we just not color it and be there? And then if we want to add more or go identify things, maybe we could do something like that.
If we wanted to get more specific within the commercial or within the, I mean, do we want to create an industrial area?
Sure.
I mean, I'm just asking. No, I'm not.
I think there's some benefits to having some different districts, definitely. We're fighting right now. I mean, we asked just a little bit ago, what do you think about duplexes? Well, we have some issues because clearly in Taney County we're not doing any kind of building codes.
Right.
And I have nothing against duplex buildings at all. I think they're a needed thing, but I do have some concerns from my point of view as far as if your half of the duplex catches on fire, Mr. Stroffus, how's my half going to be protected? Or if you happen to be a pervert, what's going to keep you from crawling up onto my side of the attic and putting a camera down to see what I'm doing?
So without building codes, there's no way to enforce that, though.
The only, I don't want to get off on this tangent too far, but the only thing I can see from is that we could do it similar to what we did with our height restrictions and say, you know, we can't enforce building codes here. However, if you would choose to alleviate our concerns through your own recommendations, we would consider this set of standards for you to build by. And give that person the opportunity to say, well, here's how I'm going to build, and then hold them to what they self-impose. That's the only way
unless,
I can see.
Unless we designate them commercial.
If we designate them commercial, then the fire district steps in. If we don't, they don't step in at all.
But not necessarily every duplex would be a commercial. Some of them end up that way, but not.
And I can take you to some duplexes that are 2,300 square feet each side. So if you stick them on a little tiny lot, you really...
Let me ask you this, Eddie. So really the first step that we've got to get to is the designations.
You need some zoning districts.
And it sounds like the commission needs to come step forward because the subcommittee sensitivity and all those things... The commission needs to come up with a designation that is adequate so we can at least take the next step. Is that correct? We can't do anything until that's done.
Yeah, my thinking was you need to know exactly what's sufficient. When for Aegis to say we're done with phase three, what's sufficient for you?
Okay.
Do you need 18 full-blown districts fully described? Are you okay with
four,
whatever the case might be? And then realizing that the more that you try to define, the more rules that you've got to have,
right,
to make them different. Otherwise, they're all the same. If there's no rules separating anything, there's no use having the district.
Traditionally, I mean, I haven't done any research, but I mean, gentlemen, it sounds like we're going to have to make that decision for the subcommittee so we can move forward.
Our subcommittee's not meeting anymore. Right now, in front of our board, we had given them some of the majority, I guess, of the zoning districts that Aegis had presented to you guys as a list, and we tried to flesh those out a little bit and to say, if I took this out into the county and I looked at this building, where would it fit on here? I'd be able to at least identify it and say, this is what it is. Now, whether we need all those or not, don't know, but yeah, we've got to decide what we want to chase. If we're just looking to, you know, be legal in court, I think Bob, I mentioned that we could probably go in right now and just say, this is residential, this is agricultural, and this is commercial. We could draw a map like that. Wouldn't that make us legal? And we could still, when people live in a residential area and wanted to have a commercial business, we could still handle it the same way we handle it now.
You could get as simple as you want. You could call certain areas agricultural, other areas residential agricultural, other areas commercial, and other areas industrial. Now, do you want subcategories or not? I mean, we could go and look at our map and see how it's currently being used, which we could get from downstairs.
Sure.
We could look at how it's currently being used, at least theoretically, how it's being taxed, and make that under those categories our zones, and would be legal.
Which is exactly what I'm saying. So, just for compliance with state statute, we could say residential, and we really don't have to define residential a whole lot. Is that right?
But
you're not saying. I would rather have more definition. Yes, Bob. But I'm saying just. As simple as it gets.
No. That would be as simple as it gets, and that would be fine as far as that goes. But getting legal requires a lot more than just, or at least getting to the area where you're without a doubt, with no argument, legal, takes more than that. It also takes having a process that sure. is itself legal, without doubt. And that would be having those already zoned, and if you have a change going through a process, and that change is eventually signed off on by the county commission.
Right, which is an issue that I've got to deal with them anyway on.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying right now. If let's say Mr. Schroffus lives in a residential area and he says, this big field over here, I'd like to put a convenience store in it, we have a process for him to go through to do that.
He comes through and gets a change, and the process isn't much different than the process we use for every person that
That's
wants
exactly
to do
what I'm
anything.
Saying. We right now, we have a process in place to allow that kind of a thing to happen. It doesn't differentiate on a lot of stuff. If he wants to change from agricultural or from residential, we got a process for him to go through. Unfortunately, it has to happen on every tract. Now, if it's already commercial, then we wouldn't necessarily have to do that. Well, that's something we could change our process up a little bit and let it. Because right now, if he has a hamburger store and he wants to change it to a car lot or something different, he's got to come back and see us.
You would define what you consider an approved use for the property under, say, commercial. Now, you may not want to put every commercial activity there is, but you put those that are allowed, and they wouldn't even have to come before the board. They could just come down to P&Z, and what's the list of those things? Am I okay if I do this?
Exactly.
Okay, and so they'd already be approved. They wouldn't have to do anything else. However, if they want to do something that you don't want to put on that list that's commercial, maybe they have to get a special use permit and come before the board.
That's what I'm saying. So, I think as far as becoming compliant, we could probably do it with pretty much what we got and how we would color stuff now, for lack of a better word. We could say this is residential. These are the commercial areas. Yes, you can change up the kind of businesses in those. I understand that.
But there's certain businesses that we would want to, I wouldn't say restrict, but just designate areas. If I wanted to create a industrial area so that I made sure that similar type businesses were in that industrial area, yes. I could do that.
Well, for instance, good one for Commissioner Pennell. It's one that he's concerned with, and I know the other two of you are also. The adult entertainment industry, if there were, shall we say, pornographic-type movies or, shall we say, topless nightclubs, that sort of thing, you can't constitutionally keep them out of the county totally if they want to come in. However, you can zone them so that they have to be located in certain places that make sense. And by your ordinance, you can... say, for instance, put them in an industrial area. And you can limit the numbers of industrial areas, but if they have to go into an industrial area, you know they're going in an area where there's, and we don't have that sort of thing really, but factories and that sort of thing, where they're not next to churches, they're not next to homes. And
that's one way, that's why. That's
and
one
we,
way.
We do have a subset in our book that deals with adult businesses. Mm-hmm. And it does have some extra restrictions and everything like that. But
they
what
aren't
Bob's
the greatest
is,
in the world.
No,
right?
But everything can be fixed a little bit. Is what I'm saying. But a lot of code books that I read said adult businesses go only in the industrial area. If you're going to have that kind of statement, though, you've got to define an industrial area.
And that's going to be a permitted use in an industrial area. But industrial areas are going to be the fewest as far as areas.
Exactly.
You're not going to have that many industrial. You don't
exactly
want
right.
that many industrial
right.
areas.
And then light industrial is not that big a deal in Taney County. You could have some of that. I think heavy industrial is a little
depends
different.
Depends on how you define industrial.
Well, exactly.
Too.
Hold on. Could we not as a commission direct Eddie to come up with some of the simple recommendations he's making so that we could at least be moving forward and let the commission look at them? We've talked about a few things here, but could we not try to, help accelerate this process so that two things we could make the modification to P&Z, and two, help fulfill the obligation we have with the land use contract we have with Aegis, so we can kind of bring that to a close also if we can get through this phase three. Is that not make sense to try to do, or?
Does that close phase three when
we do that? We've got to get the ordinance, we've got to get this, what we're talking about has to be done for us to finish phase three.
What?
Which creates the zones.
The zones.
And a preliminary zoning new ordinance book. Not a final one, but a preliminary one. We rejected the one that they submitted, so we have to have
either a new one or we'll use the same one we've got and modify a few things.
In order to have the zones, you also have to have the zone classification.
Correct.
And that's what I'm saying, you know, what we've got off is a thing here that it's a lot. When you start getting in all your different residentials and what makes them different, and then, you know, your qualifications for all of that stuff. If you're just wanting, again, what I'm trying to say is, if we back up and say, all we're looking to do is feel like we're compliant with state statute, then I would say, do your minimum and then grow from there. That makes sense, Bob? You're looking at me like you're dumbstruck, for lack of a better word.
I agree with this, with the statement, keep it simple. And
I'd like to have a lot of zoning districts that are all defined and everything.
But I don't know that I'd keep it so simple that you only have the four or five districts. You might want to separate up your commercial a little bit. Maybe a C1 and a C2. But yes, you want to keep it simple. You don't want to get overly complex at first. I agree.
If I could interject, this entire EGIS process has been very, in my opinion, convoluted. And I feel that their sense of direction was not clear from the beginning. If we are to move forward with EGIS, I think we need to have another meeting and get clarity on what our goals and intent is. In defense of EGIS, I think they've done a lot of work and sometimes spinning their wheels, not moving in the right direction. They have put forth effort, but the finished product is something that we're not very happy with at all. So I would ask that we, if we're continued to move forward with EGIS, have a sit-down meeting with all involved parties and get a clear sense of direction for everyone involved. And like we're talking right now in regards to zoning, the two meetings that I attended as a subcommittee person, we could spend 45 minutes on one particular zone, and it became very frustrating. I believe the reason we stopped having those meetings because we were not making progress in a very timely manner at all. We would have been meeting for several years, it appears, at the pace that we were going at. So I think overall we need a clear sense of direction as to what our goals are, and then we'll know how to move forward.
EGIS has worked much, as you said. Has anyone talked to them? Do we know, do they have a product? Do they have accomplishments? Where are they?
I think the last correspondence I had with them, of course, was the letter that I sent you on your behalf, telling them until they heard further from us not to proceed with anything. And I believe all of you have a copy of that letter, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Does that mean? So unless they've heard from you gentlemen to do something different, then my guess is that they're in a holding pattern. I know we had given some of their recommendations, zoning recommendations, to our P&Z board back in at the end of January to consider during the month of February, and to come back and say too much, too little, add this, take this out. And as of last Monday night, I have still received nothing back from that board saying, here's the way we'd like you to proceed. I think
much of the contract, Eddie, is something that they were ill-suited to perform in the first place, and maybe that's part of the unfairness. The zones, they came up with a bunch of complicated zones that they took from another county, which may or may not fit here, but that's something that the Planning and Zoning Commission or staff together should really come up with. And it's difficult for them to do phase
sure.
three, so it's made things difficult for them.
But again, I'll come back to this, guys. What exactly do you want them to hand you?
And if I could interrupt, what I'm saying is they took a job on, had a contract, they went to work on it, they built this for all of phase three. They're only lacking $3,350 being paid for through phase three, I believe. And they did all this work on phase four, $40,000 worth. And I'm in agreement that we were not clear of what we wanted them to do, maybe. But they did all this work, where is it? I mean, have we asked them, what did you do? I mean, where's...
There's no product that they can give us that we can use at the current time. That's the problem.
I'm not saying if we can use it or not, but I mean, they've done work. Have we seen the work?
Yes.
Do we know what to do? I haven't seen it.
We actually rejected it. That's that thick document. That was part of it.
Was that in phase three? I thought that was
That's in phase three.
I'm talking about phase four.
You can't see what they've done in phase four.
So you can't see it. Well, that's
I don't think. When you're talking about polylines
on a map, which he hasn't printed yet, so
which may not even we may not even need.
Phase four deals mostly with being ready to go out and meet with the public, if I'm not mistaken, which would be the final zoning map.
But the $40,000 that they've done on phase four, he said when he was in here that a lot of that was polylines. And polylines on maps, when we don't even know what the zones are of no use to us right now, and it's not something he can show us in black and white because it's...
Right. The argument is we have to identify what these polylines are going to be. If it's 3 districts, 12 districts, 18 districts, exactly. We've got to get districts set first, and that's the next step.
Right.
Then we can come up with, do we use our existing P&Z book and modify, or do we get a whole new book? But we've got to come up with the districts first. I think... Without a doubt, that's the next step.
Humor me just a little more, Bob. I think you'll have a good answer. How did they go forth into phase four and do all that work if what Jim said is right? I'm not arguing with him. I'm just saying, why did they do all that if they needed district?
That's a good question. They did the zones that they did, and they weren't approved. Okay, let me just give an example. Say we have C1, C2, C3, and C4. All right. Well, it might be that we want to keep it simple and just do C. Well, they've got different polylines for C1, C2, C3, C4, which is a lot of work compared to just doing a whole C. And those dividing lines, we won't need. They'll have to that's work that didn't need to be
program,
done.
But on they could probably go back and say, if it's a C, change it to this.
But they got to do redo work.
They would have to redo.
They did set up districts to put these polylines on.
Districts that hadn't been approved yet.
That hadn't been approved yet, and that's what they did on the work problem. Pretty much. Okay.
I got a strange question for you gentlemen, because you don't look at it the same way that I do. The way I look at it is they presented us with something that we all rejected. Instead of them trying to improve upon a folder that we all said was ridiculous. Instead of starting off there, they kept skipping phases until they got to this other project. If they had stuck with trying to improve a product that they could hand this county commission that we could read and show the public, then we wouldn't be in this condition.
You're right. They were supposed to do something, and they did come up with a draft. It was unacceptable, and they were trying to work through a process with a subcommittee and with the Planning and Zoning Commission, but they were frustrated because things broke down, and we weren't reaching any sort of solution, and we weren't getting it done. So they got frustrated. In the end of March, they sent a letter to the commissioners saying that if there were no objections, because whatever was going on with phase three was, that they were going to move on to phase four, but they never got back to you to see if there were any objections. They just heard none and went ahead and went forward.
You said March. It was actually October or November of the year before.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, okay.
Let me respectfully tell you something here real quick. And, gentlemen, I'm not throwing stones or anything like that, but... It is very, very hard if you're a for-profit business, I think, to operate with the county because of the lag times. And I'll use my board as an example. A year ago February, my board had me present 8 recommendations to you guys for consideration. 2 of them that are still pending, and I need to get back before you again, very needful. Very needful to bring us into compliance, and that has to do with this board signing off on any recommendations for land use changes made by my planning board or by my board of adjustment. To be legal, we've got to have you guys do that, but we never did get moved on that. And it is frustrating. So I've kind of gotten out of the loop and everything like that, and I need to get those right back before you, because that's another part of this being in compliance with state statutes. But it is frustrating for them to say, okay, here's this. When can we see it? You can see it when my board gets back and everything. And now we're months down the road, my board still hasn't, even though we mention it just about every meeting, they don't give me anything.
The board does not seem to want to get involved with the details and the formulation of the new ordinance. The board wants to be handed a package.
It's pretty political. I mean, it's a hot potato, guys. Let's be honest here. And we just need to get, we're
going to do something with it, though.
We're going to have to sit down just as a commission with Eddie and just get a recommendation together. If it's four zones, if it's six zones.
If we're paying for something, gentlemen, I want it in a packet that I can understand, that I don't have to go through and say, this is ridiculous, this is ridiculous, and this is ridiculous. I want it to where the people who we work for can be satisfied with looking at the packet, and not, and things that they came in and said, oh, we know that won't work, but this is a working document. Work it. Get rid of that stuff.
Well, which is why I say maybe we go back and say we're only going to deal with four districts or five total that we know we've got here right now. And then here's a few changes we may have to make to our existing code book.
I got an idea. My idea is, shoot it to pieces. Let's go get Stone County's plan. They got a new plan, right?
They do, and I talked to Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. All right, let's don't do that. Let's not do that.
She recommend that we put a little more research into it.
Let me go to B then.
I've got one too, so I mean, there may be a B, B, C.
My B is, if we don't look at theirs at all. And,
I've got a copy of them off, and I have been looking at them.
And maybe it's worked into my B, A and B together. And that is, we post four meetings in the next 3 weeks. And we sit down, because to Danny, all due respect, I don't think we're going to get that. What you want handed to you.
We've already paid for it, though.
I don't care. I don't think we're going to get anybody hand us what you're asking for. We're going to have to sit down and work through it to get it the way we want it. I don't think there's anybody.
I don't think you can take outside people and
no one can read minds
and do that.
It's just not going to happen.
They can't give you what you want if they don't know what you want.
Plus, you're going to have if it's just us, if it's just the county commission making the decision, you put P&Z out of it. Then you got three opinions that you got to work through and come with compromise in. So my thing is, we commit and we post times and we sit down, and whether it's 2 hours or 3 hours, and we start working through them until.
And that's what happened in Stone County. They just sat down and started working through the thing, page by page.
Chuck, I'm in favor of that. My idea is this, that we all spend some individual time with Eddie to get some our thoughts in together. Then we have these work sessions that we say, because I have some specific thoughts. I want to make sure my thoughts match up with what we're trying to do, and you know, just to be more prepared. But then we all sit down together, and we just work it through. I mean, it's going to be hours upon hours.
I would modify just a touch more, and that is, you mentioned accountability. I say we start our first meeting a week from now or whatever it is, and Eddie brings us his recommendation on 8 zones.
Are you nervous, Eddie, about doing that?
No, I mean, he knows. I'm going to speak for him. He knows it's not going to please everybody, but it'd be a starting place.
Well,
or something like
again,
that.
Again, gentlemen, if I can speak respectfully, and just from what I'm looking at, there's nothing that I'm going to be able to present to you gentlemen that's going to please all three of you.
That's correct.
You're absolutely right.
Agreed on that.
Just so y'all know.
Mark that down somewhere.
We all agree on that.
And I want you guys to understand that while there's things that I would like to have, whatever we come up with, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to enforce it just as it's written. You know, and if I want duplex and can't get them, so what? You know, that's just what it's going to be. So
I want to say something here, and I tell you, it's the most confusing thing that I've ever seen, that the people that have complained the most about this is the Planning and Zoning Board that have hounded Mr. Pennell
and I could name one individual, and he knows who it is without me saying it, but the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Board hounded him constantly, every meeting. Then, when the work is to be done, the presentation of trying to enter into a planning and zoning deal, nobody knows what to do. So you break it down to a subcommittee. Nobody knows what to do. This is makes me wonder if who's trying to accomplish what? Because the people that are doing the complaining was the Planning and Zoning Board. We're spending way too much time on this. We shouldn't have to do this. We shouldn't have to do that. And still yet, they can't themselves establish some perimeters. I'm not talking about the whole thing. I'm just talking about some perimeters that they want to circle around.
Let me correct you slightly. The individual you're talking about has been off for,
Well, sure he has.
2 years. So he's gone. And the big key is, I think, is agreeable, is the reason that we're hammering this out is because of Stone County got slapped down, and we got to. Now, I was to the point, I think, even a little bit before that, to ready to take the lickings and go ahead and move forward with it. But some of what you said I agree with, but the individual that hammered me week after week, and Eddie saw it happen, and it wasn't too pleasant. But he's not there anymore. And one more thing, and I'll shut up on it for a minute, is there are some on the committee, one I can think of right off, that stood there, as you said, Danny, and said, you need to do this in a kind way over and over with the chairman. And he's worked on it. He put his heart into it, but it was just
There's a couple different issues here, and I think this board kind of knows what they would like to see happen and everything like that, but you've got present land use, and then when you start getting into future land use, that's where the rub comes in. Because then it really gets ugly.
But we never got to there.
I know, but if you're going to set up your districts, you've got to think ahead. Because even Monday night, we had a guy in and said, how much of this land down this road here is going to be commercial? Which is not what we're trying to do. But the public's concerned, you know, are you going to change my land into something else or whatever?
That's what public hearings will be about.
Exactly. And I agree with you, Bob, and we know that. But what I'm saying is, you know, right now we're just looking at current usage.
But
you have to define more than current usage if you're
which is not any different than what we're already doing. We look at current use, and if you want to change the use, unless you're just building a house, if you want to change the use, you have to come in and get approval from planning and zoning. Well, if we use what we've got right now, they'll still have to come in and get approval, but it'll be called a rezone instead of a zoning.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Christian County just went through this about two weeks ago. They had their planning and zoning people on TV, and they were talking about going through and changing their code book because they expected a massive turnout on their public hearing. What do you do in situations, Bob, and you've heard me say this, I'm not knocking you on the deal, but just where you live out there is a perfect example. And personally, if I'd have been the person, I'd have sued the fire out of planning and zoning for turning me down for a restaurant that turns in your driveway there when it was continuous with already a commercial business, and then had one across the street, and then one next door, and then a commercial business here, but you turned it down because it wasn't...
First
compatible.
Of all, I didn't turn it down.
I know you didn't, but I'm talking about planning and zoning. I'm talking about planning and zoning.
And if you want to use that specific example, yes, they were denied the change. However, they had the right to go to the Board of Adjustment and appeal that, and they never did. And you're right. The factors that are used in order to determine whether a zone should change are... is the area changing such that it is no longer simply residential? There are businesses along there, and the predominant use is becoming more business, and it should be commercial. Those are the things that are factored in, and it's no different with our current planning and zoning, or if we went with the more traditional form of planning and zoning, and you had to come in for a rezone. basically you still have to go through the process, and the process is always going to be flawed when you have humans involved. If you have a problem with the decision that's being made, that's when you get to appeal it and then go to court if you need to go to court because you think they made the wrong decision. But the process is there.
Can I just just so we don't have to, I was going to try to make the IDA meeting, which is now gone.
This is what happens in the subcommittee.
My question is this. Let's just go ahead and get on a schedule 4 weeks consecutive, two-hour work sessions with land plan. We'll get Nikki to find the time slots, and let's just hash this out with three commissioners and Eddie, and Frank wants to sit in there, and Bob, I don't even know if he needs to be in there at this stage, because we're going to start working on the zones, and then we'll go to how we make the zones work. Is that, it sounds like Chuck and I are...
I like that with question, and that is, you had suggested that we individually sit down with Eddie, and I'd suggested that he bring us some ideas. Do we want to do one or the other, or a mixture?
I'm going to have my own ideas, but I think, Eddie, it'd be good, Eddie, with your experience, for you to come up with some suggestions, you know what people are asking for right now, because you're there every meeting, you know what the questions are being asked.
I would like to know what, your personal interests are, if that would be possible.
Okay. One-on-one's a good idea?
Yes. Some of you I've talked with, but not everybody. And I would.
Okay.
I would appreciate that, but that's up to you guys. Otherwise.
We'll just start working on it. It won't be the next 2 weeks, but probably the 1st of May. Might be able to be May at the time that we try to get this thing knocked out.
That sounds wonderful. Question further, though, what are we going to tell Aegis? Or are we going to tell them anything, or what?
Well,
tell them we're working diligently to get them past phase three.
And they're 6 weeks out before you can give them any information.
If they want to sit through and listen, that'd be great. It may help them for them to understand the process and some of the things that they may have overlooked. I'm not asking them to participate, but if they want to listen in, they're welcome to come and listen.
And we're working to get them past phase three.
We're working on some of the hurdles of phase three.
You ask them to come. You can tell them they're welcome, but if you don't want to get into an hourly situation,
no.
I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
sure
thing.
That's clear. Unless you may.
Why don't you let them know that? Is it right for us to say, Eddie, to let you just know that we're having meetings, but we don't want to pay for them to attend our meetings?
And so they need to take action accordingly.
If you want to attend, feel free. They're open to you, but we're not paying.
There's no
cash.
Requirement, and you're not getting paid either.
If you would like me to draft that letter, I'll do that, and I'll send you a copy and send it on to them.
Is it all right, gentlemen? We would like you just to be in there, or at least
I'd like to review the letter for you. Okay. Send it.
Fair enough.
Last time I sent a letter to you guys, and I know you heard he just state that they got a letter dated a certain day, but they got it a couple weeks later. And the reason being was I was waiting for input from everybody to say, send it. Since they already knew, I sent it. I believe, Mr. Pendle, I did get a letter back, an email back from you, said it looks fine. But out of the 4 or 5 that I sent, that's the only one I got. So I did take it upon myself and went ahead and sent that letter. It did go to them a week or two later than what the date was on it, although I had contacted them by phone and let them know that.
I want to explain why I said March. That's when it was forwarded to me. It was October 9th is when I looked at it, but it was forwarded to me in March.
Okay. The phase four.
Okay.
All right. Are we good with that?
Good with me.
I'll wait till we have a meeting set up, and then I'll contact Aegis with a letter. I'll send you guys a copy of that letter since we know what the meeting's going to be.
Your email, Nikki, to set us 4 dates in 4 weeks.
All right. We had 2 other things, but Rick has left, so we can't really talk about one of them, which is the state audit, which we'll have to reschedule. And the HPRP quarterly report. We had some questions. I had sent an email. Chuck, you may have put it on there too. I wasn't sure. Is that the letter?
It's the quarterly.
Oh, domestic violence.
This is not it.
Christian Associates. Is that the same one?
HBRP. This is.
We don't do domestic violence clients, though, do we?
Not that I'm aware of under HBRP.
Well, it's the same people, but. So what are we doing, just signing it?
I think it's it needs to be approved and signed, yeah.
Okay. Okay. This is something
Bob, would you mind taking a quick look at that?
I'll
got one other thing. Going to the state audit. My understanding is we had asked Nikki to see if she could get us an appointment with someone from the auditor's office in Branson. I mean, in Taney County.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's happening, or?
I believe that, plus I think Rick was working on it. I think that...
My point was that the county commission, it wasn't Rick, because Rick had already called him and talked to him.
Right.
As we'd asked him to. But my point was that we need a public meeting where that they can come and they can explain what's available, what's not. Those of the public that's interested can come and say, these things we question are being done right, and just really get out on the table and they can throw us some estimates of doing this, that, or the other. That was my understanding.
I want to say that they've said something since then, but I don't know why I think that.
You think maybe they said they wouldn't come see us or something like that?
I think they said they don't want to have a public meeting, but I don't know. I don't know why I would think that. Let's send a note.
Let's check with Nikki and see
how
she took that and what she's done. What do you think, Bob? Can you tell anything out of that, HBRP?
The only thing that I can gather, they're trying to get people in housing and not make them homeless, and these just happened to be
domestic.
Two people that were involved with the domestic violence, so therefore their identities are confidential, and they want us to sign off on it. I can't imagine.
Motion to accept the HPRP report with two clients being anonymous because of domestic violence.
It's their report, and we're signing off on it as long as we're fine with their report. I mean, I don't think
the
domestic violence has anything to do with it. It's just that those are confidential, is all they're saying in their letter. They're saying that they serve that number of people.
Right.
And they've signed off on it. And I don't know what other documentation they give you, or why is your signature required again?
We sign up on all the monthly reports for HPRP.
But this is not a monthly, as I think Nikki told me. It's quarterly. And it's something, I don't remember seeing this type of report before.
I don't either.
But I'll second your motion.
Well, maybe we need to contact Kentron.
Mm-hmm. I'll withdraw my second.
I'll withdraw my vote. Yeah.
Who wants
to
call?
That's what I'd do to find out.
I'll call Alan. Do you want me to call Alan?
Love for you too.
Let me just call. I wanted to also, gentlemen, and then I really, really was hoping to be on. Remember, we had talked about the concern about the HPRP monthly report going negative that one month.
Mm-hmm.
I had sent an email to Valerie, same lady here, and she said, we have identified a need in the rental and utility arrears section of the both homeless prevention and rapid rehousing. We did not anticipate using the case management budget money. I would like to move that line over to rental and utility arrears section. So basically, when they set up the budget, they created some individual line items, what they assumed the usage would be of that money, because it's all one big bucket, and what they're realizing is the rental and utilities is becoming a bigger issue, they thought, than the other sections. So
they need to move their money around.
They're just going to move their money. We never specifically allocated it for them. They did it for themselves based off what they assumed was going to happen. And that's why it went negative, and I think they're making the adjustment, and we'll see the adjustment next month.
And that's because this is probably a new county that where they're working is a different situation.
Completely different than Stone County.
Right.
So that's just the update that they had given me.
Okay, well, we'll see what you find out, Jim, on HPRP and maybe tackle it.
Under administration. Well, no, we'll post it.
Wednesday morning or
something. Maybe Wednesday morning. Okay, I'll find out. I'll call Alan. Okay.
All right, you going to recess?
Yep.
Got P&Z tonight at 6 o'clock. Anybody's interested? I don't think there's much going on. But.
Are you going, Bob? Is there anything?
My understanding, but if there's nothing going on, I mean, is there anything going on at all?
The agenda's out there, and I took a glance at it, and I only saw one project.
Can we recess, Dirty?